Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Aces Up the Sleeve, the audio podcast. It's been a hot minute since we've been on air and in your ears, but here we are. We are here for our 2024 sales recap episode. We have been very busy this yearling sales season. We have been a little bit, we've been scouring just about everywhere, and we've picked up a very, very good class of 2024 prospects. And I am joined by Jared Shoemaker and Mark Wampler. They're both going to sit down with us. We're going to talk about all of them. We're going to talk about some of the availabilities that we have left and, talk about kind of what kind of season it's been. And Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Jared, I see you busy down there.
Yeah, I'm setting up appointments and visits for some of our horses for some of the partners. So,
all right.
You know, I'm multitasking as typical.
Yeah, that's always fun, isn't it? So, do we want to go ahead, since we kind of went shopping over the summer first, do we want to start with the summer yearlings, or do we want to do Keeneland? How would you like us to get
rolling? We'll touch base real quick on the two we got this summer. I know we've talked about them before, but we've still got a little bit of one of them that's still available. There's not much left, but we'll just kind of touch base on that. Obviously we've never done the digital sales before, and we went, we'd been looking, we'd been keeping an eye on them, but we had never had the opportunity or never found something that really fit for us within budget. And we went in to buy one and ended up leaving that sale with two.
As you often do when you go online shopping, as we all know the dangers of online shopping.
That's right.
So, Mark, do you have... since we've kind of broached into that topic, we do have Truly an Honor, which is the coat of honor yearling filly. Do we want to start with her and have Mark kind of give some thoughts on how she's progressed since this summer?
Yeah. Well, she's done really well. First of all, I'm excited about Coat of Honor getting his first crop of 2-year-olds next year. I think he's really gonna, he's fallen off of people's radars because he's not alive anymore. He's only got this one small crop, but he was such a tremendous racehorse, and for that sire, he did it on the dirt too. I think the Coat of Honors have a real chance to wow people, and I think it's no coincidence I went out there and the two horses I liked were Coat of Honors. He really stamps them. This filly in particular, I've always been most impressed with two things: her frame and her walk. She reminds me of Temple City Terror, in as much as the frame is always there. They kind of go through. They are leggy, tall fillies that went through their growth stages, their spurts, their little awkward times as they're maturing and growing, but the frame is always there, and I always see those types growing up into beautiful swans. She's doing great right now. She's broke, she's getting ready to go, but this is a filly who doesn't cost a lot of money that I think come next summer when she's 2 years old and had some training underneath her, you're just not going to recognize her. She's going to be because the frame is there, she's going to fill out. She's leggy. She stands over a bunch of ground. I anticipate her being one of those kinds. It's a real jaw dropper when she's done. And so far she's done everything right. She's got a good mind. We've moved her from Foxborough to Dermot's, and she handled that really well, settled in great. She's doing everything Dermot asked her. The breaking process has been simple and straightforward. I'm just real excited about her. I think she potentially could be our best value of the year. Everything's going the right way, and I expect that her trajectory is going to be really good. That's what I see for her, is her trajectory. Where she's going to be in 6, 9, 12 months, I think she's only going to get better.
Yeah, and we got her at the same time as the other one that came out of the sale, the other Coat of Honor colt. He sold out pretty quick. And I think he's going in all the right directions at Silver Springs. And I know they're real, real pleased with him over there as well.
Yeah, he's really filled out. He's when I saw him last week, I was very impressed, very happy with the way he was going physically. He filled out a ton. We've only got two, that's another reason why I'm excited about Code of Honor is both these two have really good minds and they learn quickly. You don't have to spend days doing the same thing with both of them. He's got a great mind too. I was most impressed with him, just how he had filled out, in the time from when we bought him to when we've started breaking him now. And again, he's done everything right. Kevin's really happy with him. So I'm excited about both of them.
Yeah. And, we got a little bit of less than 15% available in the Philly. She's, like you mentioned, she's an incredible bargain. We got her for $7,500 and I just think we kind of stole her. People fell asleep on her at the auction and during that auction with so many others available and looking for a good starting point. Jump in.
Yeah, a good starting point with those two and especially her. That's a great way to put it. And I think another reason why we got such good value is there's no ads for Code of Honor anywhere. There's no, once he's passed away. It's hard enough for current stallions to stay up to date, to stay in people's minds, so you can imagine a horse who's no longer with us. He's not getting ads. He's not getting publicized. There's no commercials. So
their stallion register entry is removed. I'm almost, one or two days after you they passed away.
Yeah. I looked it up when we bought them. I looked it up and it wasn't there back then. Yeah. So you can't even find anything out about the stallion, but we know other ways to look up, and we did a lot of research on Code of Honor, and there's because he's not out in front of everybody, everybody's asleep on him, and so but there's no reason he can't sire perfectly good racing prospects, and especially where there's smoke, there's fire. You go out and you see 10 of them and you just happen to like two of them. They just happen to be Code of Honor. He's obviously he's just going to have this one crop, but there's no reason these runners from this crop can't be as good as anything else, And so it's an opportunity.
Absolutely. So, so we got those two and then we went into September. With plans to buy a few, and we ended up coming out of there with four. We still have one of them, obviously sold out very quickly, in Irish Ace's half brother, and then we do still have some availability in the three others. But I think we were probably a little bit surprised that any of these four fell into our budget. So let's start with Nimblefoot and we'll just take them in the order that we bought them. And we're very surprised to get started buying as early as we did.
Yes. Nimblefoot, he's one that, we've told the story. We just went up there on the day he sold just to cover our bases. We didn't think we'd be able to afford him. And, I remember with him, I don't think he was prepped really well. I don't think he was showing himself really well up there at the sales. I think he'd been out a ton. He was a little tired. Maybe some of the tricks that the other bigger consigners know and use weren't being done with him. And that's where our opening happens, and we know more about the horse and the family than most people. His brother, Irish Aces, was very similar, kind of a tall, leggy, what some people might consider too heavy. And neither one of them looked like these sales yearlings that sell for a lot of money. Like the sales yearlings that sell for a ton of money are the ones that look like little racehorses that you can put saddles on their back and run them tomorrow. That's what sells for a lot of money. with Irish Aces and with his half brother by Tiz the Law that we have, they're both just babyish and round and soft, which I don't mind at all. I want our babies to be babies, but it's not what sells. So anyway, I think those are part of the reasons why we got him for such a value. And he, physically, he's just as nice as his brother in a similar sort. And what has transpired since we bought him, we got him over to Margot. They're some of the best horse people in the world. Got him a bunch of TLC, and now he's thriving. He's flourishing. So I've been real happy with him.
And I do want to clarify what you mean by, we cover our bases. After Irish Aces' big win at Kentucky Downs on August 29th, you and I talked about it extensively. We knew he was in the sale, the half brother was in the sale, and we thought there was no way in the world that we were going to be able to afford him. And so, but we thought, you took it on your own, really, to think, I'm going to go out there and make 100% sure, at least to say that I can see it. So covering our bases, meaning there's no way in hell we're going to afford this colt, but we better check him out anyway, just in case. So, I just want to make sure everybody's very clear on what we mean by covering your bases. So he goes through and we I think both of us still a little bit surprised that we got him, even after the all that you described, just based on what his half brother's done so far.
His brother was very similar. We bought him for 40. He wasn't half to anything, but neither one of them were great sales yearlings. They're both very good racing prospects, but a sales yearling, an expensive sales yearling you're going to make a lot of money off of, isn't necessarily the best racing prospect. But like I say, because they're both kind of big, a little heavy over their front ends as babies, they're softer, rounder, those just aren't the types that bring a lot of money, but it creates a lot of value for us. And when I saw him, I went up there, there's no chance. And then I got him out and started looking at him, and I started thinking, there's a chance here, And so as the day wore on, I got more and more excited about the possibility of getting him.
Yeah, and I said we were going to take them in the order that we bought them, but I guess we didn't, because we ended up. You called me and said, "Hey, I'm going to stick around and watch this colt go through, because I think we may just have a chance to be able to pull this off." So I said, "Well, I'll be on out," so we both ended up sitting out there and watching horses go through, and here comes this beautiful little twirling candy filly that goes through while we're waiting on the colt.
We didn't think we'd be buying that day. We weren't. And then when we realized we were going to have to, we were going to stick around for a couple more hours to see Nimblefoot, we said, well, we might as well get started. First off, you see Twirling Candy and boom, you're automatically interested, And she's out of a Medaglia d'Oro mare. I mean, she's just, a Twirling Candy out of a Medaglia d'Oro mare. It's exciting, straight away. I remember being very impressed with her walk. That's what I really liked about her. She was very athletic, very good mind up there at the sales ring. I think we got an opportunity, we're value shoppers. So where did we get our value on her? She's not flashy. She doesn't have a bunch of chrome on her. She's a brown race filly, but if you're patient and take a good long look at her, you'll realize that, she's very athletic. And when you see a yearling with that kind of breeding and that kind of athleticism, you're halfway home, you're going to pursue this horse. And then, we pulled her out, picked her apart, looked at her knees, looked at her ankles, and we liked everything we saw and just felt, fortunate. And that's why Keeneland September is so important to us, because there's so many horses going through the ring. There's going to be horses that fall through the cracks. And it will always be one of our best opportunities for that very reason. You know, you get either one of these horses in a smaller cell where they stand out a little more. We probably don't get them, but you know, I think it works in Pocket Aces' favor that sale is so big, because people just can't cover every single horse.
Yeah, and you know, she just, as I recall, I think you were kind of looking at one horse that went right in front of her, and then there were several people on that horse right in front of her, and there were several that were that were looking at one that was right behind her, including you. Finally, you just ditched the other two and you went and just focused on the filly while some of the other people stayed with, you know, the horse in front and the horse behind. And, you know, and as you can very well, as you know all too well, and as our listeners can imagine, trying to pick apart, you know, three horses right in a row with each other.
Yeah. That
not real simple to do.
Yeah. It's, and what I had done there is, you know, made a decision, because I'm not going to follow all three of them. Who's the best, you know, who do you like? You're going to have to focus on somebody, you know, and it was her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got shut out. I think, when did we get the money? The next one that we got was the Munnings Colt. I'm trying to remember which day that was, but I think we had a day or two where we didn't get anything. And then we got the Munnings Colt, and you know, getting a Munnings to fall through in our budget, I wasn't paying that close attention as you were doing your job on him, because I just thought that's not going to happen. Yeah. No way. But sure enough, he fell right in our laps.
Yeah. Again, this guy. I just remember, I can close my eyes and picture him walking around that ring, coming around the turn, big, huge stride on him, when he walks behind, big, strong Gaskins. And what I liked particularly about him, and I wonder if this comes from from Candy Ride, is the ground that he stood over too. Sometimes these Munnings can be shaped like a ball, kind of, you know, plenty of strength and athleticism, but they don't have much stretch, you know. And you know, as we know, it's not a vertical game, it's how much ground you can cover. And he looked like he was, you know, a lot of Munnings are sprinters, quick, fast, they have speed. This horse, I have no doubt, is going to have speed. He's got this huge engine and very strong Gaskins. But I see him more as, maybe he's got more stretch, he covers more ground. I hope he's going to be the kind of Munnings that you'll see with speed, but he's going to carry it over a route of ground. And that's kind of what everybody's looking for, a colt with a bunch of speed that can cover, you know, a lot of ground and maybe help carry that speed a long way. Him, you know, I'm not 100% sure why we got a good value, you know, such a good value on him. Again, I would say he doesn't have any white on him. He doesn't have a blaze. He's a brown horse, you know, and if we're going to find value, that's one thing I'll take value on. He's not, you know, the 4-H blue ribbon, pretty star or blaze on his head. He's a brown horse, but he looks like an athlete to me.
Yeah. And you know, they're not all, what's not to like about Munnings. I mean, his numbers are incredible. He throws winners. They obviously, just like any other stallion, they're not all winners, but man, he throws a high percentage of runners.
Yeah.
Especially lately, like Munnings has been seemingly just winning every stakes race lately. Like that's all I see is Munnings horse, Munnings horse, Munnings horse.
Yeah,
he's been busy.
Yeah, and like I say, I see him as one of the. I've seen, you know, Munnings that are stone cold sprinters, and some of them want to stretch out. I see him as one of these Munnings that is going to want to go a little further. You know, that could be a 2-turn horse.
Yep,
well, the Candy Ride mare definitely helps.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't hurt him, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's where he got all the good. You know, the thing is, I've seen Candy Rides you know, I've seen thousands of candy rides. And I think he got all the good stuff from Candy Ride, but not the bad things Candy Ride can give you. Candy Ride can give you very offset knees, he can give you very poor conformation from the knees right down to the feet. And he's got, and the feet are the worst. When you see a Candy Ride, that's the first thing I'm looking for is their feet. But he's out of a Candy Ride mare, and he got that stretch, and he's got that two-turn look about him with a lot of strength behind, but he's great through his knees. His feet look good. He didn't get that bad kind of front end Candy Ride can get sometimes.
Yep. And then our final purchase was the Silver State Colt, and you know, the Silver State, I made a comment to you even before he came, I mean, probably the day before that, man, I was really seeing a lot of Silver States that I liked. And this one came through and quickly caught your attention as well.
Yeah. He's a rock star. I mean, Silver State is going to develop to be a lot like his sire, Hardspun, just a great source for quality class race horses. This guy, he ticks off all the boxes: size, scope, strength, great, you know, he's got a great balance to him. You know, Dermot thinks he's the best thing we bought since Temple City Terror. And I mean, that remains to be seen, but he's extra special, you know. And we'll see where he is in a year from now, 9 months from now, but size, scope, strength, great walk, great mover, great mind. Really excited about it.
So the Silver State Colt, you know, we went in, we wanted to get one more colt there, and we did get it, or one more horse, and we did get him. But we wanted to get another horse in that $25,000 to $30,000 range, and that didn't happen. So we tried something new after the Keeneland sale, and that was, we started shopping overseas, and we spent some significant time and effort trying to get something done at Tattersall's New Market yearling sale. We bid on a few, got close on a few, but we're ultimately never did get anything done. So we moved on after that wrapped up, moved on to the Fasig Tipton sale, at the Fasig Tipton October sale, and didn't take long to get something done on that end, and we did get something in that the $25,000 to $30,000 range in our new colt by Maximus Mischief.
Well, you say didn't take very long. To me, it felt like a little longer. You know, what was he hit 108 or
something like that? Yep.
Yeah. I got there. You know, at hip one, and by and large, people don't decide to go to October. You know, it's not their first choice. They're doing October because they want a little extra time for their horses to grow. They want them to be in a smaller sale so they don't get overlooked, that kind of thing. So I'm up there, and for 107 hips, I'm not seeing anything. You know, in this amount of time at Keeneland, I would have gotten off the wall three or four times by now. I'm seeing a lot of horses that I expect to be at this sale. You know, they're undersized. They look like they've had problems prepping, things like that. And then, you know, this Maximum Mischief comes up, and he's just, it's one of these things is not like the 107 others, you know. I was just, I thought he was so far above any of the other ones I'd seen so far that day, and was just really, I told Jared I was going to, I would go to $75,000, $80,000 on this horse. I thought and think he's special. You know, plenty of size, buckets of strength, doesn't look limited to just you know, 5 furlong, 5.5 furlong races. He's got a lot of stretch to him, covers a lot of ground, very athletic, and I was initially very surprised to get him for the price we got him at, but I found out a little bit more about the story afterwards, and it made more sense why we got such a value. But I'd also add, as soon as I signed the ticket, Ethan West, one of our trainers, just comes over running at me, and I was on that horse. I wanted him. I was bidding on him for a client, you know, and I think Ethan stopped at like 15 or 20, and it felt good for at least once to be, not be the person.
Have the big pockets.
Yeah. Have the big pockets, you know? So Ethan loved him too. But I talked to the consigner afterwards, and it turns out, a lot of farms around here is a kind of an employee loyalty program. If you've been working there long enough, they buy a weanling and pinhook it to yearlings, and the proceeds, the profits, go to the farm employees that are involved. And that's what had happened with this horse. Brandywine Farm, Pam Robinson, her and her husband bought it for the employees to pinhook. And in that kind of situation, the employee or the employer is not going to protect the horse heavily. They didn't buy their employees a racehorse. You know, it's got to get sold up there. So he wasn't protected. And it's interesting. He opened up very low and there was a ton of bids to where did we end up, Jared?
30.
Yeah, there was it opened up at 1, 2 and it just. And I knew because I was so willing, I was willing to go well above. I had a lot more money to spend in my mind. I hit it as fast as I could every time. I wanted all these people around me to know I wasn't stopping. I was going to, we were going to get him. And so I tried to kind of break other people's will and still got him at a value. Like I say, we would have spent a lot more money on him, but was, you know, very fortunate to get him at that 30,000. And, he's at Silver Springs now. They're starting the breaking process with him. Like him just as much now that we've got him home, as much as I did when I saw him at Fasig Tipton, and, real excited. It's another one of these deals. He looks like he's built for speed, but I also think he's got a chance to carry that speed over a route of ground.
Yeah. And, you know, I've just been blown away by him ever. You know, just, I think he's absolutely gorgeous. And just tickled pink about him. From there, we stayed there through the rest of the week. We had several horses that we knew things about, several horses that we'd gotten a chance to look at ahead of time. And we remained at the sale for 4 days, but never, we tried to bid on a couple, but that nothing that went in, in our price range or the reserves were set beyond where we were going to go. So we basically decided we'd wrap up and we would wait for the, Tattersall's December yearling sale. And then we got a phone call from Ted Durkin, our bloodstock agent, and friend and associate of Brendan Walsh, there in Tattersall's, their new market. And he said, "Hey, Mark, guess what? We got this, I got this really nice colt that I think might just, be exactly what you're looking for, but he's 2 and I'll let you pick it up from there."
Unbeknownst to me, there was a horses of racing age sale in between the October yearling and the December yearling sale. So I wasn't even aware of it. Having worked so closely with Ted in October, and I felt like we had a good relationship, he called me up on last Friday to say, I think I've got a great situation for you. There is a Kodiak, 2-year-old Kodiak colt. And for those of who might not be familiar with Kodiak in Europe, he's a tremendous sire, one of the best sons of Danehill you'll find. When the horse's name is Misty Memories, and when Misty Memories was bred, Kodiak was standing for 65,000 euros, which in today's conversion is over 70,000. So he's a highly regarded stallion, sire of over 100 stakes winners. So I'm already interested. And what Ted told me was he bought this horse for another owner in England back in the May 2-year-old training sales in Europe for 120,000 euros. So,
pounds.
So at that sale, it was euros.
Oh, it was euros. Okay, my bad.
Because it was in Ireland. It was the Tattersall sale in Ireland.
Gotcha.
So it was 120,000 euros that he bought him for. He loved him at that sale, loved the way he worked up. Everybody loves Kodiak. And just kicked on with him. What happened was this owner that he bought him for is mainly in national hunt horses, the ones, you know, the jumpers in Europe. And he just dabbles in thoroughbreds. So what he did was when the deadline for this sale came up back in August, he entered him just to cover his bases, again, to cover his bases, just to have him entered. And that sale gets a lot of scratches because the entry deadline is so far in front of the sale. You enter just to, so you're in, and then decide over the next 6 to 8 weeks if you want to stay in. So on October the 14th, this horse, Misty Memories, he ran at Kempton and ran a bang-up second. Just got beat by a Godolphin horse, a first-time starter Godolphin horse who was 6-5. He got in a lot of trouble, didn't find running room till late, showed a big turn of foot, and it was very impressive. And Ted thought that if we were in the market for 100,000 guineas yearling, we'd be much better off taking this guy who's 2 and ready to run. And I think it's important for people to understand the purse structure in Europe, too, and why this thing makes sense for us. A great example of the purse structure in Europe is the horse that won that race at Kempton that we were second in with Misty Memories was second in. It's a Godolphin horse. He's as well bred and as well connected as a horse can be in Europe. And for winning that race, he earned $4,900. And that is the way it works all over Europe. They run for literal peanuts there until they become a stake or group horse. And then the purses and the higher you go up that ladder, the purses get a little bit closer. So the previous owner asked his trainer over there, Richard Hills, if he thought this horse could be, Hills. This is,
Was it the Richard Hughes horse?
He's with Hills now. He was
Hughes. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. The previous owner asked him if he thought he was a stakes or group quality horse in Europe. That was important to the previous owner because he knew it didn't matter how many maidens or handicaps that he won in Europe. He was going to lose a ton of money by campaigning him, even if he won, unless he could be stakes or a group kind of horse. What the previous trainer told the owner was that in England, I do not think that he is going to be stakes or group. What he meant by that is this horse, and the key to this horse from Ted, from Brendan, I've had Dermot watches videos, all these Europeans, and our opinion is the key to him is getting him on fast surface. Kodiak is a tremendous speed sire. This horse has a big turn of foot, but every race he's run on has been soft, good, or slow surface. He's screaming to get on a fast turf course. And the previous trainer knew that he could run him, say, 10 times next year, and he might just get him on the firm turf 2 or 3 times, and it was going to be really difficult to develop a stake horse, especially this horse, running on ground with give in it, which is what you're going to get in Europe almost all the time. So anyway, anyway, Ted was very surprised when he was second in that race at Kempton that the owner kept him in. But he kept him in to basically cash in, knowing that he was better off in a country on the firm turf, and cash him in and use that money for his national hunt horses. So that's kind of how this deal kind of came about. And Brendan is going in with us on this deal. He's very excited. I talked to him. I got one of the fastest replies from him I've ever gotten when I texted him to say we got the horse. He texted me back saying, "Oh, that's great. Can't wait to see him," you know. And so Brendan, I know, is very excited about getting him, and he's very excited about having a piece of him. Our goal is, one of the values in this deal is that we've bought a horse who's race fit when we bought him. We're going to lose a little of that in the transfer to the States, but we're going to try to keep that as close to a minimum as we can. It's going to be about 2 weeks before we can get him over here. He's going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks when he gets here, and he's going to go to Dermot's place, and we can keep him exercising at Dermot's place. But that period is going to be real important to see how he shipped over. You know, how does he settle in? What did the ship over take out of him? Now, Ted said he's been around the horse for a long time, and he's got a great mind, and that's going to help him make the trip better. But ideally, he gets over here, he bounces back well, we get a little training into him, and then we could send him to Brendan's kind of base for the winter in Florida at Gulfstream, or we could send him to Brendan's barn at Turfway. I think what'll determine that is just how well he does ship over. If we can get him to Brendan in Florida in time to have a couple runs at Gulfstream, that's the optimal way to go. But if it's getting too late, maybe we send him on to Turfway and get him prepped for Keeneland. Either way, our goal, you know, you never know with horses, but our goal is to have him running kind of late Q1 of 25 or early Q2 of 25, because we want to maximize the fact that we've got a horse that's already run, he's racing fit, and you know, but you know, what we want him to do is, as soon as he's, just keep him healthy and happy, and we'll run him as soon as he's able, and we hope it's in that kind of time frame. It can be if everything goes the right way, and I think that'll add value to this too, because and the other big thing about this horse is he's still a maiden. He didn't break his maiden in that race. He was second, which is key. We have an opportunity to run him in the U.S. for a big purse on a firm turf course against non-winners. And, you know, if he were to do that in Europe, he'd just get about $4,000. But if he does it in America, we can get $30,000 or $40,000. Or more. So the big move up on this horse is getting him over to America on firm turf. And we think with his breeding, what he's already shown on off tracks, the recommendation from Ted, Ted has won classic races in Europe as a jockey. He knows a good horse when he sees one. So, you know, we're just, for a lot of reasons, we're really excited about this.
And you know, for folks that, you know, that may not follow every track around the country, I mean, Gulfstream should hit this horse right between the eyes.
Well, what's great. Yeah.
That's a fast, fast turf course, hard turf course, and built. I mean, it's a speed turf course, which is something you don't see very often. And it's got the poly track, which is, I know you're going to go.
Yeah, that's the direction I was going. And if the race at Kempton, this horse is placed in Europe at some of the biggest tracks on all surfaces, but on the turf and the poly. If it rains that day, if we run at Gulfstream and it comes off the turf, this horse should be fine to go right on the poly. because he's done both and done both well.
What's so curious about that artificial surface race at Kempton was, I mean, the surface wasn't rated as fast. I have never seen an artificial surface race that was anything other than fast. So that just tells you, you know, how much moisture and rain they must have been dealing with at the time that it wasn't rated fast.
It was rated slow. I've never seen that.
Yeah. Never seen that ever. So, you know, maybe that's maybe it's the, well, I don't know. I can't say why.
I keep tabs on the European scene, so I can probably help answer that question.
Please do.
It had been raining sideways and throwing buckets of moisture onto those tracks to the point to where I'm pretty sure they had abandoned the car a couple of times before. So yeah. It's just been such a wet kind of fall that there have been so many places just abandoning cars really out of the interest of safety. Like, they were just becoming peat bogs instead of a course. So they were out of the interest of the horse's safety that a lot of these cars are being abandoned because of how much moisture there was in the ground. So that's probably why you were seeing a poly track with a slow rating, because they do take it a little better than the European natural courses. You know, at some point there is only so much water the ground can absorb until it just, you're hydroplaning. So that's, I suspect that's where that slow rating came from, that it had just been days of just moisture. And that was the best they could do for it that day.
And I think even on turf courses like, you know, like Keeneland, which is, you know, highly regarded turf course, I think that, you know, a fast or a firm turf course at Keeneland is going to be way, you know, firmer than anything he's ever run on before. So, yeah. You know, even a track like that, it doesn't have to be Gulfstream. I think that one in particular is going to be good for him, but I think he'll do just fine at you know, Keeneland and Churchill and Ellis Park, all of them.
All I know is if he had that kind of turn of foot on a slow artificial surface, I'd love to see what he could do on the fast. And the other thing I think is key about this horse is, you know, we had this unbelievable experience at Kentucky Downs back in August and September. I think Pocket Aces, and we will make it our goal to be perennial leading owners, you know, in the hunt for that meet. And take a lot of time and effort to make sure we're going in that meet with our bullets ready to fire. The fact that it's such a short meet kind of evens the playing field on how many wins you need to be the leading owner. We've got the right trainer. We've got the right stock. It's more money on an offer for turf racing anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think he'll be a big bullet for us for Kentucky Downs.
Absolutely. So that's where we are through the sales season, and that's gonna wind things down for 2024. Don't anticipate buying anything else, you know, unless these all sell out overnight, which, you know, it's probably not gonna happen. But I do believe, you know, I think Patty, I assume this is, we're recording on Tuesday, Patty. This is gonna go out on Wednesday, the 30th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's about the time that we're going to make the general announcement about Misty Memories. He is not going to last long. He's the most expensive horse we've bought in a while, and the share prices are going to reflect that. And, you know, it's going to cost us, you know, from the time we purchased him to the time he gets to Dermot's, it's going to be an additional, you know, essentially $16,000 US to get him here, which is obviously, and we're paying a bloodstock agent that we don't normally have that expense on top of it. So, you know, his shares are going to be a little more expensive than normal, but I don't think that's going to slow things down. I've already got multiple commitments just from the email that went out, you know, the stable update that went out last night that hadn't even didn't have any pricing information on it. And people are like, I'm in, just, you know, write it down. So don't wait around on this colt if you have an interest in him. And the Twirling Candy is almost gone. We're less than 20% in her. The other filly, the Code of Honor filly, almost gone. The Silver State colt, almost gone. And things are moving along, you know, a little bit slower, but still at a decent enough pace in the two other Colts, the Munnings and the Maximus Mischief. I don't know. I can't think of a time I've been more excited about a crop of horses that we've ever had. And it's, you know, it's kind of unusual. 2 years ago, you know, most of the horses we bought, they were colts. Last year, most of the horses we bought were fillies. This year, they're colts again. And, you know,
it wasn't by design. It just,
not by design. It's just, yeah, that's right. It's just the horses that came in front of us, and that's just how it worked out. But, I couldn't be more excited about this group. And, they've been very well received. And, don't wait around on those three because they're very nearly done.
I am buzzing. I am buzzing about this group. I am so excited. I've had like ants in my pants about this episode since we found out the news that we got that 2 year old, that we got all of these good yearlings, and I'm just like, we need to talk about everybody. Like, let's just cover all the bases. I'm so excited. Like, I am just, I don't know, it's hard to describe. It's one of those feelings that you sit there and it's in that like that pit of your stomach feeling, and it's like, oh my God, this is so exciting. Right.
A little context on that. Patty has been encouraging us to shop in Europe for the last couple of years because she does so much European coverage for the TDN. So that is a big piece of her excitement.
Well, and I would just like to point out though, like one of the things that, and there's like a saying I imagine it's kind of a common knowledge-y thing, but there's a saying, it's like, you don't spend $16,000 to import a horse. No matter what the horse sport is, you don't spend about $16,000 to import a horse that you don't believe is going to be something good, something special, right? Like, because you can find run of the mill at home. So I am very, I'm so excited. I'm sorry. I was like, it was so tempting to just be like, we went shopping and we bought something in Europe, but I'm like, wait, we have to have a plan for this episode because Patty is not reliable when she's excited.
I'm sure you can attest to what a great stallion Kodiak is.
Yes. I wrote a Bible for Jared. He didn't ask for one, but I wrote one for him for the pedigree information. Like, Kodiak is the man. All right.
A lot of Euros liking him to Spikestown, high class speed.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's like, and the thing for him too, that I'm particularly, I particularly really, really like is that no matter, cause you know how some like for a long time, Medaglia d'Oro, who is like a class sire, he was considered like, oh, the Medaglia d'Oro fillies. That's kind of what he was known for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I like that with Kodiak, one of the things he was known for was producing good horses that got good really quick and then stayed good. One of the statistics I actually, that I found for him and the farm that, and Tally Ho Stud, because he stands at Tally Ho Stud, the farm, I imagine, keeps, it's a very competitive environment for all the stallion farms. It's competitive in America. It's competitive in Europe. And according to Tally Ho, at least, the Kodiak holds the record for most, I think, juvenile winners in a season. I don't know what that specific number is. I'm sure it's listed somewhere. I'll try and find it if I can. But he's held that, and he's been the leading sire of two-year-old winners for the last decade. That's impressive. That is a long time to be at the top, but when you're good, you're just good.
And I want to say this real quick, kind of along those lines on looking for information. I give Equibase a hard time because the website continually crashes and it's just it can be a disaster. There's so much more free information about American thoroughbreds than there is paid information in Europe. I mean, it's, you just can't find the stuff. I just haven't figured out how to look
for it. It's the case of that you have to go to a lot of different places to get the information that you can just get on Equibase or just get on Equine Line.
Equibase and Stallion Register are absolutely fantastic relative to anything that I've seen since we started this European project.
I use Racing Post.
Yep.
Yeah. And, I found that Racing TV does really, really good. That's where I got a lot of the information for this colt. I actually also found links to almost all of his races, except the I think even the Kempton one. I think I found the chart for Kempton. But Racing TV is really good. So if you want to toss that link in there for the partners or for like that availability email so people can kind of, you know, take
Twin Spires. File. Twin Spires even has his races.
You can get it on Twin Spires. There you go. You can get Twin Spires too. Okay, very perfect. Cool. So yeah. It's a scavenger hunt sometimes.
Well, I can't guarantee we won't get another horse before the end of the year. You know, we're always looking for some, you know, some new opportunities, but we won't be going to any more sales to look for horses. We are going to be selling a couple coming up in November, at least one, possibly two, depending on how things go on Friday. And, you know, that's pretty much a wrap on the 2024 sales season for Pocket Aces Racing.
Yep, absolutely. And thank you both for joining me on this sales season wrap up. I appreciate that you're both extremely busy sometimes. So thank you for taking times out of your day to sit down and chat with us. Because it would be as much as I like to chat, Patty talking to herself is not a lot of fun. So, but thank you all for tuning back in. And we know it's the first, you know, audio episode that we'll be releasing in a hot minute, but what a great episode to release. And we're getting back onto a consistent schedule. We're going to have a Breeders' Cup preview special episode rolling out for you guys as well with me and Jared. So
Mark, you're welcome to join us for that.
Yeah. If you want to say for that one,
when's that one?
I think
we'll record it. Got to get it out it's got to be published on Friday. So
there you go. So whenever
I'll get with you tomorrow on it.
Okay.
All right. So there you go. So the trio will be back to talk about this upcoming Breeders' Cup. So we're super excited about that. So make sure you're following us on all of our social medias. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, on Threads under Pocket Aces Racing. We're also on the YouTube channel. You guys have been very active watching a bunch of the Cut the Deck series videos from the Keeneland. See, we're calling it the Keeneland season. So make sure that you guys are, you know, still taking a look at those. If you haven't seen them, there's a bunch of really good interviews up there this time. And, you know, Dave even went out and interviewed some of our partners. So, you know, take a peek at those, maybe see a little bit about the Pocket Aces Racing experience. Make sure that while you're over there, that you have subscribed to our YouTube channel, that you've hit the bell for your notifications. And finally, I'm so excited to get to say this again, as I tell you every Wednesday, have a happy Wednesday, have a good Wednesday, make good choices. And podcast is out.